welcome everybody to the third episode of season two of the Office podcast. We hope you've been listening and you've been subscribing, and remember to follow us on our social media at Office Podcast Essay on Twitter and on Instagram, and use our hashtag The Office Podcast and let us know what you like to hear. And we are happy to be back with another interesting episode. So let's kick it off. And you know, I'm not alone. I'm with Kia.
Whoop, whoop. Hi, Lai.
How are you
on this Saturday morning? We're actually recording on a Saturday morning. Funny enough, actually, I'm not even tracking the days of the week anymore. It's just like, whatever.
You know, I suppose that's the good thing about technology. It's giving us the option to actually record anytime because you can do it from...
Yeah, and it's some positive to the lockdown too, because who cares, right? We're going to try and, you know, be a little bit positive today with the COVID-19 stuff, guys. And as you know, we're doing a bit of a COVID-19 series, unplanned, but you know how our life works. So today's topic is going to be very interesting. Hope you guys listened to episode two, because in episode two, we looked at upskilling during the 21-day lockdown. And mm-hmm. I wonder how, have you actually handled this lockdown so far? We are about 8-9 days in?
Yeah, we're 9 days in. Like, I actually have been, because I had traveled before, mm-hmm. and as soon as the president had the first national address, I just didn't go out of the house. So I've been on lockdown since the 15th of March. Yeah.
Yikes.
I think I am way beyond 9 days. But you know what?
It's
you get used to it, and then you just start running with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I think it's time for us to get into Know Your Continent. Lelo isn't on episode 3 as well, but we will hold it down with Know Your Continent. Lai has got us something spicy for us. I don't know what it is, but yeah. Let's go into Know Your Continent.
Yes, I'm actually interested and actually excited, rather, to do this because... I get to make you guess. I get to be the Lelo in the situation. So here's, it's also like COVID-19 related, but this is an African country mm-hmm. with the least number of confirmed cases. I'll give you the number and then you just have to guess the country. It's they've got 2 cases confirmed. So let me give you... a clue. It's in West Africa. 2 cases in West Africa. Yeah.
Do you want to try it, Bright? I haven't introduced the guest, but I think you might want to try this one out. Do you have an idea, Bright?
It's in West Africa. There was a movie about diamonds from that country.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Actually, he knows what it is. So.
He knows, and I know, but it's...
Okay. It's got
So
another interesting fun fact about that country is that when you land in the country, like you land in this mountainous area, uh-huh. and you kind of like have to take a ship to get into the town, like, or you fly over, it's take a helicopter. Yeah. It's so dope.
Oh, that's nice. I'm assuming you've done that.
Yeah, you probably has been to the country because I didn't even know that.
Knowing Bright, it's possible. Guys, the name is Bright.
I just mostly travel.
Sierra, it wouldn't be Sierra.
Back yourself.
Sierra Leone. That's what I can remember.
Yay! It is.
The name was right here, but I was like struggling to get it out.
It is Sierra Leone. So yeah, they actually have, I was quite surprised to know that they only have 2 confirmed cases. And I hope it's because it's not because they actually haven't tested a lot of people. So, yeah.
So, is it not because? So, the travel industry. What does the travel and tourism industry look like? Because I think, for example, Africa. I think the reality is that the reason we've got the number of cases that we have is from external people coming in from other European countries into Africa, and that's how the virus, I think, has spread. From what I can gather, sitting right is chilling up in Africa, you know what I'm saying? So is it not? So I'm not quite sure what their tourism industry looks like, but I would assume that has played some role. I know. Bright, yeah. You've been there. You let us know. I haven't actually visited Sierra Leone.
It's pretty hard to get there. That's the first thing, and it's not cheap.
Oh, so, yeah. There you go. And we're in South Africa. There you go. So, guys, for Know Your Content, we actually wanted to be a little bit more positive today. So I think that's why Lighten went with that route. Only 2 confirmed cases. That's brilliant. And Africa, at date of recording, actually has 704 recovering cases. So we are making some progress. But guys, how awesome is it that the World Health Organization is raising the coronavirus awareness using a WhatsApp bot that South African government came up with? So kudos to South Africa. Hands, happy hands, because we deserve
it. Happy hands, exactly.
But also some cool information is I came across an article on BBC that talks about people in Africa who are doing such exceptional and surprisingly great things amid the coronavirus pandemic. So there's a Libyan fashion label that has switched from making chic garments, and now they've started just producing medical gowns for their doctors. They're producing scrubs for their doctors and nurses. And then we've also got a South African flower wedding company that is utilizing donated flowers to also decorate old age homes in Cape Town in the Western Cape, Cape area, because why? There's a lot of weddings that have had to be cancelled or postponed, and the flowers were there already anyway. So that's some positivity. And then a landlord in Kenya has also told his 34 tenants that they don't have to pay rent for April and May. So whoop whoop to him.
Whoop 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 whoop.
What I found surprising.
Outside on my landlord.
What I found surprising though is BBC reporting on a Tunisian belly dancer doing videos online and people enjoying belly dancing. I didn't know that it was that much of a big thing, but obviously in Tunisia it's their part of their cultural experience.
Yeah.
So that is why I guess that was major for them.
But why was it new?
I don't know. That's what I was saying. I found it so odd that BBC would find that newsworthy. But
yeah, anyway. That's interesting. Yeah.
All I have to say is, baby, drop it down on us.
Hey, Mr. TikTok.
Yeah.
And then an Ethiopian pop star has donated a villa to use for people who have to go into quarantine. Well done to you, Mama. And wow. Then a footballer in Nigeria's Premier Division has also given 4 of his fans money to make sure that they could eat during the coronavirus update. Obviously, it's like 5,000 naira. And we all know when we convert that, what that means. But we ain't gonna get into it. It's a good deed. It's a good deed nonetheless.
Nonetheless, so I think we've
had some positivity because we've been dealing with a lot of depressing issues. Look, well done to South Africa. I think we're doing a good job, a brilliant job in containing the virus with all the lockdowns. We get to record a podcast as well. So whoop whoop. Yeah. And that was Know Your Content for episode 3. Let's go.
Welcome back, guys, and we are off to our main topic of today, and Gia is going to take us through it with our guest, and the topic is COVID-19 and my money. So let's find out how our money is doing, what the impact of this pandemic has on our money. So let's get into it. Gia, take us.
Well, I don't know. Have you seen any... I mean, I saw a tweet yesterday, someone saying that by the end of the pandemic, he'll probably have some money saved because he's not swiping as much. He said, I think he would have spent by now 800 rand on takeaways every week. And I think people don't actually notice how much they swipe every day, how much money they swipe every day. When you're going out to Quad to get like that smoothie and you're swiping, or you're going to get breakfast, or you're going out for lunches and you're just swiping. So I picked up that there will be some financial behavior changes or money changes. I don't know if you've noticed anything. I know you love your wine. So
I love my wine.
So I don't know if you've invested in additional wine cellar, or have you noticed any money changes?
Yeah, I've actually noticed quite a lot. Like, and also for me, it's actually astronomical than other people because I live and play in a 5-kilometer radius. So I made a conscious decision of not having a car because I don't really need it.
Yeah.
And so I'm not paying anything in transportation, obviously, and I'm not paying for a car that is not going anywhere. And I am not paying for going out because literally I think like 30% or 40% of my money goes to like eating out, because I do not like to cook, even though I'm actually quite a great cook. So I've realized that I've saved quite a lot of money. I'm actually quite impressed. It has made me look at my finances differently. And I think after this, it's going to be an impact on how I'm actually spending. So,
well, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. I do have a car. Not that I could miss a payment or anything of that sort. I could miss an insurance payment or anything of that sort. But I've definitely saved on petrol. Mm-hmm. Our cars aren't moving unless maybe to go refill or whatever the case is, or in other cases where we get Pick and Pay to come deliver some stuff as well. So I've saved quite a lot there. And then eating out as well. I don't eat out as much anymore. I had stopped eating out anyway. I'd started, you know, looking at my finances. I don't eat out as much as possible anymore. But I am saving on the let's do lunch, let's do drinks vibes. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are starting to see a lot of, you know, behavioral changes. So I think it's great. And I'm hoping that it's something that we can carry with us until, you know, after the lockdown. But there's also a lot of uncertainty happening. A lot of people are a little bit nervous about their finances. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. And then we're getting Moody's and Fitch's downgrading us. There's so much going on and people are not even sure. And when you look at the markets, it's been red, like for a while, like since March.
Girl,
when you're going to work, you pull up your screen and you're like, it opens on red, closes on red. So
red. Exactly.
It's been a very anxious an anxiety-filled period for us during with COVID-19. But we have a guest today, because I know that a lot of people don't understand a lot of the terms, financial terms, or don't understand what's happening, don't know what Moody's does, don't understand how Fitch just fits into the picture. What are their pension funds looking like? What are their investments looking like? No one knows what's actually going on. A lot of people don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that is why we wanted to have this conversation today about COVID-19 and my money, and bringing in an expert. So we're not experts on money, we're not experts on finances, we're not experts on investment. So we respect you guys enough to bring you experts on the different topics. And that is why today
exactly
we brought you a cool dude. He says he's actually known as Dividend Poppy. Okay.
Dividend Poppy.
He calls himself the Dividend Poppy. And if you know him well enough, you would have picked up who I'm talking about already. And you've heard his voice in the intro as well. His name is Bright Khumalo. And if you've never met Bright Khumalo, I don't know where you've been, to be quite honest with you, because this is the guy who managed to save about 7,000 Rand by using his 10 cents theory or his 10 cents method. And I'm going to ask him to actually elaborate on that later on in the interview. But he's also a portfolio manager. So his day job is that he's a portfolio manager at Versatech, a fund management company that manages money for private clients. Whoop, whoop.
I mean, money.
You might have also spotted him on Business Day TV, hosting a show called Velocity. And the guy who's also saved, again, like I said, 7,000 Rand putting away 10 cents in January, and then he followed a simple strategy. He calls it a simple strategy. So we'll ask him about it, and maybe we can use it. We're already in April, but maybe we could try and catch up, you know, if we've saved
the
money that we've saved. But also, Brad loves TikTok, guys. Like, I have not, we were talking about TikTok in
episode two.
I haven't caught the TikTok bug yet. I just watch the videos and I love the videos and the challenges. I adore it, but I just haven't recorded anything on myself. But Bright loves TikTok. So we're going to ask Bright if TikTok is actually listed, because maybe if it is listed, it's a stock that you might want to, you know, get into. And if it is, why isn't it listed? You know, because it must be booming right now. Bright, welcome to the Office Podcast. We are so happy to have you with us. We know, you know, you're such a busy guy, you know.
It's lovely to be here. I'm always busy making TikTok videos.
Speaking of TikTok, is TikTok actually listed? And let us know. Do you think it's would it be a good idea for them to list?
So I did a show where we spoke about TikTok on Velocity not so long ago, because it's one of those companies that has always caught my attention. It's owned by a parent company called ByteDance. So how it happened, there was a US company in 2016. I'm sure you guys knew Musical.ly.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And then Musical.ly got merged with this big giant Southeast Asian competitor called TikTok, and the whole thing was called TikTok. And now I think the head office is somewhere in Europe. because of, you know, the censorship issues around China, etc.
Yeah, makes sense.
And it's one of the most, well, no, not one of the most, it's the most valuable privately owned company today, because Uber used to be worth $90 billion before it listed. And it's probably worth like $30 billion today, because it went down a lot because it was overvalued. TikTok, the last time I checked, was valued between $70 and $80 billion, and they seem to be going strong. And obviously, by acquiring Musical.ly, they introduced all of this Southeast Asian technology into the Musical.ly app, and they converted everyone from Musical.ly to TikTok. And then obviously, you can join TikTok today. I joined basically back in 2015, 2016, while it was still Musical.ly.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
I didn't even know about TikTok then. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But the only reason why I didn't produce as much content as I do now is because back then it was a lot of, you know, like this teenagers. I don't want to be derogatory here. It was a bunch of teenagers using their fingers doing, you remember, what do they call these pyramids? Like pyramid dances.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
and I absolutely hated those dances. So I took a break a little, and then I came back when it was real dances.
Okay. And now you're one of them. But you speak, you said that Uber was overvalued. Can you, for our listeners, just break down what you mean when you say the stock was overvalued, you know?
So basically, how we determine a value of a business is the present value of its future cash flows. It means the money, what you think the business is worth today based on the money it could make in the future.
Okay.
Okay. And a lot of forecasting. Uber,
yes, and Uber, there was so much exuberance in the private markets because people thought Uber would be making a lot of money tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then it was valued at $90 billion before it listed. And then when it came to the market where, you know, they say listed investors are a bit more harsh, and the market is always right. The market is basically a group of buyers and sellers coming together to determine the net value. So Uber just tanked, unfortunately. It's one of those businesses that went down a lot since listing. And now it seems to be a little fairly valued. But I think in terms of where we are today in COVID-19 and people not being able to use transport as much as they could previously, since the entire continent, the entire world is on lockdown, it makes you question whether is it really fairly valued where it is today. The business.
Oh yeah, exactly.
I mean, if there's no tourism, there's no Uber, right?
Yeah, but that's so tricky, because then that's a little bit harsh, I think, because is investing not exactly that? Isn't it about taking risks? Because nothing is actually certain. We're seeing a hell of a lot of volatility at the moment with COVID-19.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone predicted that COVID-19 would happen. So then what do we do as investors? What do people then do in such an instance? Because the reality is, I don't think anyone anticipated that a pandemic of this nature would be happening at the moment.
So those questions depend on your age and your time horizon, your investment horizon from today to your... the reason why you are in the market. So most people in general, especially in South Africa, because we've got a very good savings culture when it comes to saving for retirement specifically, because it's essentially forced upon us. It's one of the few countries in the world where you are forced saver, basically, if you work, because your employer has your retirement annuity, you can get it yourself, et cetera, et cetera. In other countries, you have to do that on your own. That's a staple. Yeah. So the question, back to the question, it depends on you, and your goal, whether you're saving for retirement and then I'm assuming that in this podcast, our audience is youthful like us. Yeah. So if I was in a market today and I see that, there's COVID-19 and I know in the past there's been H1N1. Actually, I remember that very well. And it was as vicious. And if you look back in market history, there's always been, a lot of famine, war, and those kind of things. They've always been there, and the market seems to recover from it quite fine. And the most biggest one in terms of pandemics or epidemics was the Spanish flu that everyone keeps on referring to.
Yeah.
The Spanish flu basically almost wiped out, the whole of South America, and it was nasty. But South America seems to be fine today if I look at it. And working on the assumption that you're not dead tomorrow as an investor, this only provides a great opportunity to stay in the market. And if you're brave like me and myself, knowing that I've got a 40-year horizon basically to my retirement. So I'm definitely taking the view of buying more quality businesses at these cheaper prices. Because every time I pass through the shopping mall and I see my favorite item of clothing at a discount or on sale, I don't say, I'll wait for it to actually recover and go back to normal price before I go.
Great analogy.
Exactly. Great analogy.
And you've actually answered a question that I had received from Pumi Mazibuko, who had asked, actually, is it a good idea to buy share stocks now that they have gone a little bit cheaper during the pandemic? She was obviously going more towards the likes of your Capitec and your Sasol. Obviously, Sasol has been taking a lot of the media attention. Their share price tanked. And so everyone is obviously asking, this was a greatly valued stock at some point, and now it's gone to the dog. Yeah. So everyone's trying to figure out, is this a good time for me to get into Sasol shares? And that's one of the answers that Bright had. Maybe, but it's a little bit intricate than for like at Sasol maybe.
Yeah. So here's another thing. My whole claim to fame is my passion for zero debt. We know South Africa is crippled by, especially the young people who go, straight out of university, get really nice jobs. Like you work for a bank, you earn what, 600K or whatever. And all of a sudden you see, okay, I can afford an M2 or maybe M3 and I can get a nice flat in Sandton. And all of a sudden you're really deep in it. Before you know it, two years down the line, 3 years down the line, you tell people that you don't earn enough, but it's just, the bad habits that you started with, it hinders your ability to have good habits going forward.
Yeah.
So if you start with not having any debt, it's a great start to be, aggressively going into markets with your net disposable income or your savings, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're in a spot where you've got a lot of consumer debt, if you've got properties and you've got good tenants, et cetera, and you don't need a cash buffer, for the worst case scenario, it makes sense to go to the market. But if you've got consumer debts, like credit card debts, overdrafts that are killing the youth, people have overdrafts for, drinks and going to
sleep. Yeah.
I never actually knew that until recently, actually. Yeah. This is a perfect time to ensure that you just hunker down. In this lockdown, use the additional disposable income that you have. If you're lucky enough to still keep your job and have an income.
Yes.
Have an emergency fund. I always say an emergency fund is a work in progress. People say you should have, 3 to 6 months worth of your monthly income in there. I've gone in as extreme as you might as well have 2 years, right? Or a year's worth, because that gives you enough time for you not to have a job if you lose your job and still be able to keep up with all of your monthly expenses comfortably without you stressing and sweating and calling everyone around you to bail you out. That peace of mind for me is second to none. It's amazing. I can't put it into words right now. I'm even smiling. Yes. So that's the first and foremost. Those are the two things I want to do. I want to have zero debt. I want to have a great, emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk about playing the market while it's down. Then definitely balls to the wall. Do what you must. Just do not gamble. So now let's come back to the question of Sasol. I said a value of a business is the present value of its future cash flows. So you have to ask yourself, are the fortunes of Sasol, have they changed from, you know, when the share price was $600 to where the share price was $40, $50 in recent times? Why has the share price done that? Why has it gone down? So if you ask me, I look at, you know, the announcement came out that Saudi was going to ramp up about 12.5 million or 13.5 million, you know, additional oil barrels a day in a few to fight off Russia, et cetera, et cetera. That's about 11% or 12% of, you know, the world's oil reserves per day to be loosening. Yes. And that obviously tanked the oil price from around $60 per barrel to around 27. Okay.
Yeah.
And then if I'm a RAND producer, yes, I'm producing cheaply because I'm selling my items in US dollars. But if I used to be able to sell this thing at 67, you know, 61 or somewhere in, and all of a sudden I'm selling it at 27, and I've got these fixed costs that are there. They've got a big project in Louisiana in the United States for the one of the plants there that has basically had terrible overruns, 12 billion or so later, and it's not looking good. And they still yet to produce one thing. They have not done anything, and the management that was responsible, you know, for that project has been fired. They put in new management. I come back to the same question: future cash flows, present value. I say probably where the share price is today, that's what it's worth. It's not a bargain because I don't foresee them making as much money as they did today, like when the oil price was in 60 and 70 and going forward, because this, you know, this oil price war might last longer than we know. And I don't want to be, you know, betting any of my hard earned monies, in a thing that I'm not sure, you know, I don't have control of. It's a situation where I have no control of, whereas this COVID-19 has actually been a blessing in disguise for those people who have no debt. They've got a good, you know, safety net in terms of an emergency fund, and they can put their money, their funds to play in the market. Why do I say that? Because there's lots and lots and lots of other businesses that have seen a share price go down with the likes of Sasol, but with much better economics. It's just simple. I look at, you know, I'll make a quick example, you know, five companies from the top of my head. You know, Apple, for example, is sitting on, you know, $200 billion in cash, all time highs in terms of you know, the cash they have. You look at Google. Google is number one. Alphabet, the holding company for Google, they're number one. They have zero debt as a company. So if Google today went to zero, the whole thing, they will still have about $250 billion to play around with to start a new business. It's insane. The thing is, during lockdown, the usage on Google has shot up over 1,000% in 1 week.
Intense.
So if you're going to be conducting business online and you want to send some ads, Google is going to be creaming it. And the fact that it has gone down 35% from its all-time highs in the mid of February makes absolutely no sense. For me, I say I'm looking at the future cash flows that I'm potentially going to get from a Google. And I'm saying, wow, that looks hella sexy. That's where I want to go.
So maybe that's where you should go, Pumi. I know you're looking. You're already looking at Sasol because it's cheap, but maybe you should start looking at the tech guys, because that's who's killing it at the moment, right?
Yeah. It's Apple, Microsoft, Google, Visa, Amazon has been shorting the lights out. Amazon is hiring in this market.
I think Katlego Magagwa, I hope I've pronounced that correctly. You know, says he's got 50K to splash around. So he wants to know, you know, what to do with that 50K. And I think you've answered, you know, his question.
His question. He's actually a very interesting character. He runs a meat producing business. He's based in Maboneng. And he's, the name of the business is called Boy Meets Girl.
Which
I think is a very, it's a very cute Yeah, it's a very cute thing. Yeah, and he's working during the lockdown as well. Pretty cool guy. I used to work with him back
in
the days when
I'm actually not surprised he's that busy now. Like in the episode 2, we were talking about how everyone is trying to learn new skills, new cooking skills. Ordering more because everyone is like now.
You can just go try find him on social media, boy meets girl. He does deliveries.
I'm assuming the meat, obviously, guys, there's a pun there. So
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Catch on and you'll figure it out. But nice one. So use your 50K. I mean, if you're not sure where to take it, I can give you my own number and you can send me that 50K and I will help you spend it. But other than that, Bright has given you some ideas on where to spend your money.
Yeah.
So thanks for that, Bright. But I think another thing that is like wearing heavy on people's shoulders is the uncertainty with what COVID-19 has actually done to the global markets entirely. Mm-hmm. But also closer to home, what has COVID-19 actually done to the South African market? What are things looking like at the moment? If you can give us a brief snapshot of how things have been happening since the pandemic actually landed.
So I'm really a bad forecaster, so I'm not even gonna go there and try, because I don't have like a crystal ball to see.
That's what's going to be happening. Yeah.
No. For me, I like to crystallize the world around me. The nice thing is that Southeast Asia, had a front seat ticket to this COVID-19. So they're the poster child of literally what happens in the economy to investments, to people, how it does, affect your body, et cetera, et cetera. The people around. So it's easier to have a case study to look at, to crystallize and try to, understand the impacts of COVID-19. Covicho.
That's a new one?
It's a new one?
No, that's been around for a while now.
Oh, I'm so behind.
Not in the streets. Yeah. So we look at China. So the first set of numbers, for the March financial year or the March quarter, they're starting to come out. There's a luxury company called Shudong. I forgot the last part of the name, Shudong Chen or something like that. They came out with their numbers showing that the end of 2019, they increased, their luxury sales by 13.4%. They turned profitable, doing exceptionally well. But they said the first, quarter of the COVID-19 thing, because that's when it was permanent, to March for them. The sales have dipped more than 60%. So these are the guys that can still provide the luxury clothings, jewelry, diamonds, etc., all those things online. So the fact that people are not spending because they're uncertain what's going to happen in the future shows you that it has a ripple effect. And obviously anyone who is in business with this business in their supply chain, they're all going to get affected. I'm talking about their landlords, their maisons, their designers, all of anyone in that business chain, in that line of business that helps provide these luxury items to people is going to suffer. But that's just the one side. But the catastrophe that we've seen, basically that has everything decimated, is lockdown. Lockdown basically came out, and obviously all of a sudden the tourism industry goes to zero. It doesn't go to pause, it goes to zero. You've got, these fixed costs that I was talking about, variable costs, you can, they vary depending on, business. Yeah, that's fine. But these fixed costs, I'm going to just use salaries as an example.
Yeah.
Having to pay salaries for people who are not quote unquote doing any work, because you can't do any work. If I work in, helping people book for flights, if there's no one flying, there's no business for me. And if I'm a pilot and my line of business was to, transport people from X to Y, and I can't do that anymore, the airline business goes under, and my salary also, is under question. We talk about the restaurant industry. COVID-19 has forced us not to be in contact with each other, keeping the distance. So I can't offer that service. I can't render that service anymore. You talk about casinos, entertainment. I'm a big fan of concerts. I love dancing, like you said. I can't go to a concert. I can't imagine a situation where I'm right shoulder to shoulder with another human being. I'm probably going to die from the shock.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And casinos, like I was saying, they shut down those businesses. Las Vegas is dying. And Las Vegas is one of the places where there's the highest concentration of dollar millionaires. They're there in Nevada. And they're also in Macau, in China. All of a sudden, they poor. Because no one's traveling. No one is going to gamble. It's funny. I mean, we're talking about liquor sales locally, but liquor sales haven't actually dipped in the rest of the world because... France, Japan, those kind of, the people are still consuming their alcohol. It's still business as usual. It's still seen as an essential item. It's just only here in South Africa that we decided, you know, to protect our ladies and our kids that we're not going to do those sales. Yeah. But, you know, I can carry on anything that's linked to tourism, travel, entertainment, you know, events management business. Artists' income have gone. The likes of Cardi B making what, $350,000 a month? Zero today.
It's exactly.
Nothing. Basically, Cardi B is an influencer like you and I.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, when you're touching on the artist element, but I think what people forget to realize, or what some people might not be aware of, is that artists actually make the most of their money through appearances and shows and tours. So it's not the music sales, because not a lot of people buy the music. People are streaming the music and not really buying the music. So, and out of the streaming too, it's not really, like, for you to actually start making money off streaming, you have to have, like, a really great catalog first to start off with.
You have to be Rihanna. Someone you can play.
She's killing it there.
She's got, like, great back-to-back tracks. You have to be Taylor Swift. You have to be, like, Kanye West. You have to be, like, these guys you can listen back-to-back.
Yeah.
Shucks. So it's a little bit of a tough time for our local guys then.
two tracks. That's it. Only probably Kabza and Maporisa are making it because you can listen to them back to back.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and I'm glad you touched on those different sectors because I was actually going to lead into that question as to which of the sectors have actually been impacted. I know that a lot of people, first thing that comes to mind is travel. For them, it's just travel. I can't go on my trip anymore. Down. I can't, you know, but there's layers to it.
It's the layers to travel. Payment. You know, one of the biggest, most profitable businesses in travel is tours. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to Zanzibar and I paid a small fortune just for the tour guys that were showing me around. It's actually unbelievable. That's the amount you pay for these tours.
Yeah.
I know Tanzania. I've been to Tanzania. I spent 3 weeks in Tanzania. It's a cheap country to be in. For the fact that I was paying a small fortune for tours, it didn't make any sense. But that's just how these companies make their money. And all of that has gone to nothing, zero. And I wonder what those tour guides are doing now, just eating fruits in an island.
Yeah, shame.
But it's crazy. But I know that for the Kruger National Park, what they've been doing with their touring, I think this is a bit off our topic, but what they've been doing, they've actually been doing virtual game drives on YouTube. I think they partnered with, like, a wildlife channel where they actually do, like, morning game drives and afternoon and evening game drives. So, which has been quite interesting. It's actually virtually going to the Kruger. So
there was a channel,
so cute.
I forgot, it was Kruger TV or something, where like a 14-year-old founded that business like 6 years ago or something. That used to be around, but it never used to have a lot of views. And the people that used to view those things, because you can go on right now on YouTube, it's live. The people that view those things were like Americans and Europeans.
Yeah, exactly.
Access to the safari. So it'll have like a random 2 to 4 million viewers at a time. I wonder how many people are actually viewing right now. Now that literally the world has come to a stop.
Yeah, exactly.
So
all you can do is do virtual tours of everything. I've been in the Musée Louvier or whatever online, going around looking at, you know, the Mona Lisa and this and that. Yeah. I've done it all.
But it's with artificial, is it AI? What Google's done as well has created life-size animals that people can actually have in their homes on their kitchen counters for their little kids as well to enjoy. So if you type lion on Google, it'll actually give you the reality. Option. Yeah, augmented reality. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And then you can actually see the lion or the tiger. I don't know. For some odd reason, not working on my Google. I don't know what version of Google does anyone else have. But I haven't. I'm starting to try it out.
You need to update your Google.
It sounds like an ID 10T problem, yeah?
Oh, okay, cool. I'll update it. So that is one. So I think we're starting to see how technology is starting to play a role. I never in my mind have I anticipated that a virus or a pandemic would actually push. Because, you know, we've been hearing, fourth industrial revolution. Oh,
yeah.
Of YR. I feel like it's been more of a buzzword than it has actually been implemented, especially in Africa or South Africa's concerned.
Yeah.
I don't think we were there yet. And now we're being forced to play in the space, and I don't even think we were quite ready for it.
If you go to your phone now and go to apps and refresh, you'll see like hundreds and hundreds of updates, because it's absolutely insane that developers now, they're working the hardest they've ever in since the beginning of developing, I guess. And they are doing a great job doing that. I know, yes, our doctors are doing incredible jobs. The cleaners who are disinfecting all of those places where, you know, the patients have to go, et cetera, et cetera.
Essential workers. Mm.
So, yeah, they're all doing a great job. But developers as well, they're up there, man. They need to get the credit that they deserve as well. I've never seen so many updates, and literally every single day it's just an update.
So exactly. They're finally getting paid. They're finally getting paid for actually doing some work.
No. I'm saying they are finally able to do their jobs without the meetings that we keep them in.
Exactly. Ooh. That is very true.
Nice
that
one.
Very true.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't want to dampen the conversation. So I think we're having quite a great conversation here, but I want us to get into something that has had South Africa talking for since last Friday, and that's the ratings agencies. In a matter of 7 days, two ratings agencies haven't given us the greatest ratings, but we want to just get a sense as to why are the ratings agencies playing such a role? What is the role of ratings agencies? And what does our current ratings with Moody's and Fitch mean for us, you know, Ageya, who's in Johannesburg? What does that mean for me?
Yeah,
it's a tough question. So I'm gonna use a real life example here.
Yeah.
You know, to simplify it for myself. So basically, you and I have a credit score, and obviously, depending on that credit score, we can get certain rates. If, let's say, I want to buy a house, and then obviously, if I bond the house, depending on how well I am with my finances and my debts, do I settle on time? I've never missed a debt, all those kind of things, then I get a rating. It's a similar thing with Moody's, or the ratings agencies, where they go around all the countries to see, you know, their affordability of the debts that they issue. It's the same as individuals, same as countries. So, and that affordability allows the likes of those companies to give us a rating that's reflective of, you know, their current economic environment. And by doing that, then you can say, okay, this bond can attract between 1% and 2% if you're the US, and if you're, you know, with AAA, and if you're South Africa with, you know, a BB positive Fitch, which is two notches below junk, you know, you'll attract anything between 9% and 12%. So those are the kind of, you know, things, and these are dollar based bonds. So this is basically a way that the country raises its capital to fund its, you know, bad habits.
Some of the reasons that were noted in the reports by the ratings agencies is the issue, obviously COVID-19 is the latest one, but the lack of clear path towards, you know, our government debt stabilization, as well as, you know, the expected impact of COVID-19. SOEs, the state of our SOEs.
Yes, I mean those are all the. I don't want to say the assumptions they put in their model, but those are the assumptions they put in the model because that's the reality. They have to look at these, they look at the state as a company of how well is this company run? Mm. What is its income? You know, how much they collect from taxes and how are they spending it? We're spending it on SOEs, but are these SOEs well run? No. Mm-hmm. And then all of those, they keep, you know, deducting points until you get to a rate. Because Jesus. Then it affects your income. It's like if I had a crack addiction, it doesn't matter if I make 2 million or whatever, because all of my spending habits are going to be very expensive. And at the end, I'm left in big debts because I've just got a habit that I need, you know, to deal with, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same. Your economic environment is, and the worse, maybe the corruption, et cetera, the worse, just the ratings just gets worse and worse. And obviously, COVID-19 is a factor for literally every country. Every country is going to be affected by it. But if, you know, your deficit is already massive as it is today, imagine now without any income from profitable companies in terms of taxes, rich people leaving the country, people losing their jobs, just, you know, that SARS, you know, kitty just goes down like that. And then obviously being able to sustain those bad habits becomes very hard.
But I know that the ratings agencies are getting some pushback. A lot of criticism has come to pay to say, well, the world is faced with a massive pandemic. Is this the time to be reporting and, you know, and giving ratings to different states at the moment? Is this the correct time? And they also are questioning whether the validity of ratings agencies. I don't know if you part of the group that is questioning ratings agencies and their validity now. Worth having around.
It's a philosophical question because yes and no. You know, these companies are supposed to help us foresee the future of, you know, those particular countries that they give ratings to, or companies, because they also do listed companies. But they came under fire during the financial crisis of 08 because not even one of any of those ratings agencies came and said American banks are overly indebted. Their liquidity requirements are being breached. And if a small calamity as a few people not paying their bonds might lead into a catastrophic event. That was the 2008 crisis. They didn't foresee any of that. They were all rated AAA. Even the debt inside those businesses that they were offering and chopping and changing, all of that was AAA until one day it went all poof and they came 2 weeks later and changed their ratings from AAA to junk. The question was, how do you move from AAA, AA,
B,
go all the way down to go to CCC, for example? That makes absolutely no sense. So, like, be realistic. They came under fire, which, you know, they like to be credible organizations, and we can't, you know, all of a sudden, all the engineers and the financial people that work there and, you know, statisticians, and discredit their ability to forecast. But at the end of the day, no one has the crystal ball of what's going to happen. The same thing can be said by COVID-19, and no one foresaw it happening, which is why probably the US took it as a bit of a joke, and look at where the country is today as compared to the rest of the world. And unfortunately, they're the poster child for not listening in this case. And well, this is where they find themselves. But again, the big question I ask all of those ratings agencies is, they saw it happening in China. Why didn't they look at the rest of the world and say who's going to get hit the most, and then did their ratings then? Back in beginning of March. They already had all the information they needed. Why come in April when every country is already, you know, self-imposing lockdowns, they're doing the right thing, you know, flattening the curve? It makes absolutely no sense if it's organized, if it's an organized slowdown versus a disorganized slowdown. So that's my argument to say. I think it's a little bit opportunistic for especially Moody's, because they've kicked the can down the road for a very, very long time, keeping us above you know, investment grade. They were the only one for a very long time. I don't know whose hand they were holding or who they were trying to impress here in our government, but let me just say today it's not looking pretty. But you know, Fitch, they've always went for the gut, and this time they went for the chin, man. It is what it is.
It is what it is. But the Treasury has actually released an infographic that explains and simplifies this for you. So we'll definitely add it to our Twitter account. I think we'll post it on our Twitter account. Yeah. But just to give you a bit of a snapshot of the effect that the current ratings have on us is that we will be paying a little bit more on interest. Food and electricity prices go up a little bit. Unemployment obviously increases due to shutdowns and retrenchments that are going to be imminent, especially with COVID-19 at play. Governments will be forced to spend less on social programs, low investor confidence overall. Obviously, this means less opportunity for us to grow the economy, and less, of course, something drastic happens. And then,
miraculous.
I think this is the time we need every church, every religion, every spiritual guide to come together for this one. And then obviously there's an increase in imported goods. So that's a bit of a snapshot on how it affects you directly. And we'll post that infographic as well on our Twitter account at Office Podcast SA and using the hashtag hashtag The Office Podcast. I don't know, Lai, I don't know how you feel so far. Are we making you feel any better by any chance?
I feel a little scared and a little better at the same time, which is quite interesting. But I think this has been quite an informative discussion in terms of like what's happening, what the impact everything has on our money or how we need to be spending. So I think it's been quite a good conversation, and I am well equipped. And you know, like, I'm not really the best when it comes to financial things, but I've learned quite a lot. So
I think Bright has given us a bit of a clearer picture. But Bright, just to almost help summarize, or just also move into a more positive territory, what do you see as the possible investment opportunities for us currently? And also, can you just get into that saving bit? I know that, and explain to us as well how you can advise people now with the extra cash that they have, or if they want to start getting into the 10-cent saving approach, maybe also get into that as well. I think that would be also cool and interesting.
Can you repeat that question?
Sorry, so the first part is moving forward. So looking ahead,
yes,
what are the possible or the positive investment opportunities that people actually have?
Yes.
And then also for the person that maybe isn't going to go into stocks or isn't going to be investing in ETFs or, you know, buying shares or anything of that sort, and they might have like 500 rand extra here and there, how can they save?
Yes.
Nice, easy strategy to save.
Yeah, for me, the most important thing is, you know, they say money only speaks one language, right? If you save me today, I'll save you tomorrow.
And I love that. And you're going to write it
quotable
down. Quotable quote.
Yeah. So for me, that's the most important thing about personal finance is that get the right habit of you, your sisters, your brothers, your partner, you know, family, friends, loved ones, get into a habit of enjoying having a lot of money saved up, not wanting to spend it, but just seeing it increase and, you know, creating that freedom in your head, that peace of mind that I spoke about previously. Yeah. Once you have these good habits, for example, in another calamity that will happen in the market, or there will always be opportunities. Maybe someone's business needs help. Maybe you can come in as an investor or et cetera, et cetera. You can't do any of these things because you need money to make money. I think that's also, you know, another one of those quotes where they say, you know, money is the raw material of making more money. So if you don't have the money in the first place, you won't be able to make more money. So I would like us to go back, take a step back, and focus on having those good, you know, savings habits. Yes. And the first one that comes to mind, the likes of Simon Brown on Twitter talk about Christopher van Eerden, et cetera, those kinds of, you know, do it yourself, always encouraging behavior. They say spend less than you earn and save the difference, or save and invest the difference. You must spend, literally, it sounds doable. It sounds like, you know, that's what you should be doing, but how many people are actually doing it?
Yeah. And it goes back to that. You get a new job and you like your BMW or you want that fancy car, so you end up like in a hell of a
Lighten, I still don't own a motor vehicle. It's my seventh year of work. I would like to think I'm being fairly compensated for the work I do. And I just, it's insane. I just save all my money. And other bad habits I have is, you know, buying nice tops so I can post on TikTok.
They've also going to nice locations. You travel quite a bit, so that's very nice. And you learn quite a lot on those trips too, right?
Yeah, I travel a bit of Africa. I like to travel where I have friends, so I save on accommodation. They can accommodate me. They can show me around easier, and you know, I get the actual local experience as compared to around in a tour, and then I meet Europeans when I'm there. If I want to meet Europeans, I'll go to Europe. That's what I want. But that's how I approach traveling. I travel with friends. I go meet people that I already know who are South Africans who are there, and we just, you know, have stupid times there.
Oh, nice one. Nice one. So I think we've wrapped it up. And I think we've had, I don't know, Bright, so this is a very insightful conversation. And I think anyone who maybe was a little bit confused, I think we've done a decent job of trying to simplify everything and clear things for you. But if you let us know your thoughts on the episode, the hashtag is The Office Podcast, and tag us on Instagram and Twitter, @OfficePodcastSA. Sharing is caring, guys. So let us know if you've got any tips. Let us know, and we're also going to give you Bright's social media handles. If you guys want to get a hold of him, tweet him, ask him any more questions after this episode.
Talk him on TikTok
and follow him on TikTok. So, Bright, can you give us a social media handle so that everyone can follow you?
My social media handles. Can you hear me? Hello.
Yeah.
My social media handles is @Bright. Yeah, it's @Brightless. So BRITELESS. And I'm famously known as the Dividend Barbie. So if you Google Bright Kumalo, Dividend Barbie, or whatever, you'll see me.
We'll find you. Yeah.
Awesome. And I'll be sure to make those TikToks fun.
Please do. I think I enjoy watching them. I enjoy seeing them. I enjoy TikTok in general. I just don't have it, but I enjoy it. I don't know if you want to stay with us online, because Lia's going to serve us some tea. And it's a little bit cold today, so I don't have a glass of wine today. Are we drinking tea today?
We're actually having actual tea today.
Nice. Okay, cool. So we're going to take a bit of a break, and then Lia's going to give us the tea for the day. Welcome back, guys. I think we've had a very insightful chat with Bright. But there's actually one question I hadn't asked him yet, and a lot of people are asking this question. And the question is, do we not take our pension funds offshore, seeing that the JSE is being decimated? What are your views on that?
So I was recording...
That was from Tejo, by the way. Tejo Kumbani. Thanks for the question.
Yes. So I was recording a podcast episode yesterday, and I asked... my co-host Tamsan Maneta, he said to me, no, you can't take your entire, you know, the main reason why South Africa still lives, you know, and still breathes is because of our pensions and the fact that we are forced, like I said, we are forced savers, and we have these pensions here locally. But technically speaking, even if I wanted to take my pension offshore, it'd be almost close to impossible because of Regulation 28, which only allows us about 35% of our pension to be offshore. So it still mostly regulates that your pension must be fully local. The question, I guess, is the part that you can take offshore, what do you want in it? A lot of people used to put things like real estate investment trusts, or commonly known as REITs. I would say just, you know, put technology businesses in there, because REITs, unfortunately, since no one wants to pay their commercial rent, office rent, and industrial rent, those things are seeing flames. And the main, you know, what differentiates REITs from other investments is the fact that they are highly geared, and some of them are you know, they say 1.5 geared or 50% geared or whatever. They're so geared that if they don't see any income in the next 6 months, the whole thing goes under. So it's good. Yeah, it's good. It's good, you know, when the market is going up and you can make your interest payments, but once, you know, everyone stops paying their rent because of these force majeures that we've been seeing around businesses sending each other here in South Africa, because no one's operating during lockdown and no one's going to make money, and everyone is blaming Covicho as the reason why they're not going to make rent. I mean, we've seen big businesses like, you know, the Foschini Group. Who's next? You know, Truett's. It's going there that all of them are going to be like, pause, we're not going to afford rent. And we've seen Edcon, the CEO, crying real tears in a conference call, you know, after making a couple of millions, but we, that's not where we are, saying that, you know, the business is basically going to a shut. The only thing you can afford is salaries for the next 2-3 months. It's sad. That's where we find ourselves. And being a landlord is not as cute as it used to be. You know, buying property because you can lever yourself is no longer again a thing of it's a sure thing. It's no longer a sure thing anymore. It's now you're sitting with all these pretty properties that, you know, no one wants, or no one is paying any rent for it. And to top things off, trying to get rid of those tenants, good luck.
It's gonna be hard.
Under our you know, cool laws here in South Africa.
Well, Tseko, I hope Bright has been able to answer your question. Rob, please cue the teacup and the kettle. And finally, because Bright's actually made a cup of tea, Lai has got his drink in there. I've got my water here, so we are ready for that tea. And Lai, can you give us the tea?
So, yeah, I'm ready for tea today. And it's like, it's quite a gloomy Saturday. So it's definitely like tea weather, literally and figuratively. Guys, I don't know if you know any, if you know this story, but then one of the most interesting things that have happened, like during tea time, you know that we take things lighthearted, especially after like serious topics. So we just want to give like a little bit of lightness and a little bit of, you know, fluff, for lack of a better term. So I don't know if you know this, but there's been like a really, really cute story on social media that has gone viral about finding love during quarantine. Do you know that? Have you seen the story?
Where are you going to find love during quarantine?
So wait for it. It's actually kind of great thing. So this guy, I think he's in America, Jeremy, he was, he found there's a girl like on the opposite end of the street who would go to her, like the rooftop of her apartment and like chill there, exercise or do stuff. And then he kept on seeing her, so he decided that he's going to ask her out for a date via his drone. So he put like a note in his drone and like, you know, sent it over to across the street.
I saw it on TikTok. It's a TikTok story.
That is so cute.
It's a really, really cool. So anyway, fast forward, she says yes, and then they end up having this date. He's on the balcony, she's on the rooftop, and it's like really, really cute. And so you know,
my favorite part was when they actually went and met. He was on that little ball, bubble, you know, the bubble, and he had flowers. Couldn't give her flowers in the, because he's not bubble was the cutest thing ever.
It was like, it is such a cute thing. And like what Brian said, it's so eventually he decides he's going to, you know, go see her. But because of social distancing and, you know, the current climate that we're in, he like gets into a bubble, but then he forgets that since he's inside the bubble, he cannot like give her the flowers. So they, you know, take a walk, and it was really, really sweet. And he almost got in trouble with the police, and then they're like, "Oh, are you the guy from that video?" So then they started taking pictures.
They took a picture, yeah.
Aww, so, nice. No,
so that yeah, that on TikTok became a trend, because everything on TikTok becomes a trend if you post it on TikTok, right?
Yeah.
So this lady says she knows that her neighbor stays by herself. So she wrote also a cute note and stuck it on her wall, where when she comes to her bedroom upstairs, she can read the note. It says, "Please let me know if you ever need anything." Right?
It's
so sweet and everything. And then obviously the lady wrote her own note and posted on her bedroom window, and she took the video of the whole thing. It says "F you."
Oh,
that took a turn. I was just like, "That's okay, thank you, lady."
Moving on. Oh wow! Okay, so I was being left. What the hell? That's so sweet.
But that's like such a sweet story. So like, you know what? If you ever are single like me, and you think it's all gloomy, you never know what might happen in quarantine times.
But I'd like to think Bumble and Tinder and the dating apps are all like fluctuating at the moment. Everyone's like swiping. So my friends were telling me how like the apps are like.
But how are you gonna meet people? How are you gonna meet people though?
FaceTime.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna FaceTime. But what I actually heard that
those are hooking up apps though. And like, how are you gonna hook up in quarantine?
But like I heard that some of these apps are actually doing giving a lot of the premium stuff on discount, or actually like for free, so that people can connect, especially lonely single people, I suppose. So I think there might be a lot of fun sex happening. But anyways, that's a topic for another day. But anyway, speaking of what lockdown is making us do. So, you know, one of our villains in the country, Ntsiki, had a lot of things to say.
What happened this time?
over the last couple of days.
What's happening this time?
Basically, Ntsiki came for everyone's favorite girl. Yes, exactly. So she basically went out with a tweet that says, guys, since alcohol was banned, SAP says violence has gone down. Hospitals say there are no serious stabbings, less car accidents, less domestic violence. Are you sure Champagne Darling is a good influence on our community, or it's capitalist poison? Question.
No, she didn't. Look, can I be honest with you? Like, I'm quite impressed. The fact that there's less alcohol circulating in society for me is a big plus. Like, I wanted to see what the effect of not having alcohol circulating in society would be. And look, it looks like it's looking good so far. Wanted to actually see this alcohol-free SA. Sure.
I'm gonna come back to the alcohol story. Because I've my also rudimentary, you know, work. Was in a factory, manufacturing. So I'm going to come back to that. I wanted to talk about, what was the previous thing talking about? Oh, Tinder. So the owner of Tinder and a bunch, you know, OkCupid, et cetera, is a group called Match Group, which has its own dramas, you know, in there. There's a feud between management and the founders of Tinder. Apparently, they didn't give them their correct valuation when they bought Tinder and made it part of Match Group. And yeah, there's just a lot of drama. They had their first female CEO who's also being fired by the board recently. It's very dramatic, but it's an extremely cash generative business. It's also one to look at under this quarantine, because their usage on a weekly basis was up 46%. This was the very first week of March, and then it kept on increasing. I'm sure they're also over 1,000%
Wow. Interesting.
In recent times. And yeah, if we're going to live in a virtual world, Zoom, house party, Niche group, Skype, so that's Microsoft, Slack, all of those businesses that you use for entertainment, work, etc.
Connection,
They're all doing well. The Zoom, for example, the Zoom CEO made $4 billion in a space of 6 weeks in his net worth because, you know, 56 million people downloaded the app and he's seen daily active users increase by 4.6 million. So it's...
Wow.
It's all happening for them. And funny enough, Zoom used to be called Meerkat. It was that live app on Twitter. Like back in the day,
it has a very
rich history, but it's worth reading on your own if you have time. But
do you have an alcohol stash? Is the question.
No. So coming back to the alcohol thing, it's all well and great to say alcohol has done X, Y, Z, but everyone forgets about the little communities. Which is actually quite big, where all these manufacturing plants are based. Having worked at a plant myself, I know people who had never given the opportunity, the equal opportunity that you and I got to get to where we are today. And working at that plant was that step forward. And they supported tens of their families just from that. And they were able to take themselves to school and pay it forward, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of families... during this lockdown, they've seen basically their fortunes go backwards. And you're talking about people who live in, a two-bedroom house, but there's 11 of them. And the sole breadwinner used to work in that plant that produced.
But Ziggy's always coming for the people, though. Even on lockdown, the sis is still coming for everyone. Like, sis, please. I don't even follow her. Girl, I love you, but I don't follow you. I don't need that.
I don't know. The thing is, social media is such a weird place because the only way to be prominent on social media is to cause some form of
disruption
in feelings, emotions of people. So
you
take one group that likes a thing and you take the one group that doesn't like a thing, make them fight against each other. That makes you popular. And unfortunately, that's how social media works.
Something AKA and Casper tries so hard to do, but fails.
It has done
every single time.
But it has done so much for their careers. Look at them.
Not everyone is like reading, can see right through the bullshit. Bye, y'all. Let us know what's up next on me.
Honestly, it's like just to wrap up with this Nziki and Bonang thing, like I just feel like Nziki does too much as always. Like I love it. You know, the interesting thing about Nziki is that Nziki is actually very smart, and I'm just like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know what goes left.
That's the thing. I think I like her as well, but sometimes I'm just like, sis, it's okay. Like, let this one go. I do like her genuinely.
And also, I'm like, Champagne Darling, questioning her influence in our community, if she's like the right role model. I'm like, she's not the only person who produces alcohol. And I'm just like, honestly, that's really not fair. It's like,
that was a personal jab, definitely.
Yeah, that was a personal jab. You know, she always has to have like a little bit of spice.
Yeah.
But then one other thing, I don't know how you guys are familiar with Real Housewives, but I am a connoisseur of Real Housewives.
Which one are you on?
I'm at Real House of Atlanta. So
Really, season 12 too.
And so basically, you know that they're actually scheduled to shoot their reunion show.
Okay.
Before lockdown in the US. Before they started social distancing and having their lockdown. So now they don't know how long it's going to be. But what has been crazy is that these women have been going at it on social media that now the company that has licenses the show, Bravo, has now thought, like, you know what, like, if we let them go at it, when eventually if they come out of lockdown, there won't be anything of entertainment value to talk about because all of this would have been exhausted and a lot of people would have known and people would have moved on from it. So they've actually confirmed that they're going to be doing their reunion show on FaceTime. But which is like my thing.
It's not
going
to be fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
Excuse me. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. My team in who I follow in social media and the shows I watch,
Oh, guys, that's not going to be fun because you need the cattiness. You know the cattiness and the side eyes and the, you need that. You need that, like. Yeah.
And I also feel like they might have, like, definitely better internet, but I feel like the problem is going to be you can always opt to, like, drop off the call if you're just not feeling
exactly.
the question.
Exactly. And you know, like, how Eva always drops off? Eva, like, exactly. in her time, she just, like, leaves. If she's not feeling something, she just leaves.
She just leaves.
Oh,
exactly.
man.
So, yeah.
Oh, freak. So I'm actually catching up on Real Housewives of Atlanta now,
So I'm a little bummed because of that, but you know what? It's, you know, it's, this is how we're going to be living for the foreseeable month, so let's see how it's gonna be. But yeah, that's it on COVID related tea time.
Whoop, whoop. Thank you, Lai, for that tea. Sure. And guys, I think it's time for us to actually end the show now. I think we've had a very insightful, informative, fun, positive as well conversation. And I think if anything, we'd like to say thank you to Brights. Don't forget, guys, to follow us on social media. We've also given you, we'll also give you Brights social media handles in the description, in the show description. And yeah, man, engage with us. Let's talk. And if you've got something else that you want to share with us or have a topic that you want us to address, let us know and we will format that show for you.
Exactly. And remember to subscribe and share.
Come on, guys, and follow us on our social media platforms. They're new. And guys, what do you have to say about our rebrand? Come now. Let us know what you think about the rebrand.
Rebrand is lit. Oh, and also, before we forget, we're actually now available on Spotify. So please check us on Spotify. We're going to update our link, our bios and our social media with the link to Spotify.
So finally, we were struggling to get onto Spotify since last year, but now we're finally on Spotify, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
Okay, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Lai, I hope you enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Please don't forget to send me that recipe. And I'm just going to go about doing chores now.
Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.